four, and our season-long individual champion, the captain of Legion 13, John Rahm. Welcome, John. John, let's first talk about your round today. You fired off a 66. You know, you won the tournament, ended up winning the tournament by 3 points. 11 under total for the week. You really came in clutch to take this home. Joaquin put in an effort to catch you, and the way that it was, if he would have been ahead of you, you wouldn't have won the season-long championship. Tell me about how important today was for you and how much of a grind it was over every shot to get here.
It was definitely a stressful day, right? But that pressure is a privilege that only two of us had today. And that's kind of why I said yesterday, I wanted to focus on winning the tournament, right? Because I knew if I won the tournament, there'll be no doubt I'll be the individual champion as well. And you kind of want to go out with a win, right? I'll be nice to, would have been very nice to get the second win. It feels amazing to get that second win in my first season. So I focused on that. And it's not easy when Joaco starts birdie, par, birdie. And I kind of stressed for pars in the first two holes, not really being in position either on the first shot or the second shot, but great drive on three, made birdie, great par on four, and kind of got my round going, right? Felt really comfortable all day. And once it got windy, because towards the back nine, the wind picked up, it got difficult. I thought it played to my advantage because that would make birdies more difficult. And I was hitting it so well that felt like I could make pars and even give myself birdie chances. Little did I know that 11 through 13, it was going to get a little iffy. A couple wind gusts, shots that I didn't feel like they were that bad, and ended up in difficult situations. I made three great par saves, and you know, off I went towards the end of a round. If I had to give myself anything towards any critique for the day, was maybe not making that birdie putt on 14. The most difficult thing, which is hitting the green on two, hit a good first putt and not making that 5-footer, definitely hurt. But luckily, I made the birdie putt on 17, which felt a lot better than I think making the one on 14 would have.
So you and Joaco were not in the same group today. You told us yesterday you're a big leaderboard watcher. How much were you eyeing that leaderboard today?
Oh, all day. Usually you can hear cheers and you know what's going on. So when I wasn't hearing anything crazy, I knew that obviously nothing like that was happening, which helps. It was, if I'm ever not going to have him in my group, it was nice to not hear the good golf ahead, right? And still be playing good golf myself. So yeah, it was very enjoyable. It was very enjoyable. I mean, at one point I also had to worry about Taro with the start he had, and Sergio was playing great golf. It could have been a very different day. Had a couple of putts for Sergio falling, but it's just not an easy golf course out there. It's very difficult to hit it close and very difficult to make those putts.
So you finished the season first, second, first in order to secure the season-long individual championship. Do you think we can associate your name with the word clutch?
I was in clutch at Greenbrier, and I was in clutch a lot of other parts during the season, but I'm glad I was today, right? There's a lot feeding into making this day very special for me, playing with Sergio and Brooks. You know, last time we played together was Sunday of Valderrama. Sergio won. Last time I played with Brooks, he beat me. So it was definitely a pairing that motivated me a lot to hopefully have my best, and I'm glad I did. I'm on Joaco, obviously, playing great in front of us. And I would say to have the not only whoever finished first and second this week, but the top three spots for the individual season standings be three Hispanic players, right? Two from Spain, one Chile. I think it's also very important in what can the impact it can have culturally for Latin America and Spain. So I think that's another thought to have out there for all of us to be proud of.
How unique is it that the first, second, and third podium at Chicago also ended up being first, second, third for season-long standings?
You can't really script it that much better, right? I think it would have been very underwhelming if me and Joaco finished 21st and 22nd. So the fact that we come out and we both play good and you have the story to tell, and it comes down to basically the last few holes, I think it's also more exciting for whoever wins, but it's a lot more exciting for, I would say, for the viewers out there to watch good golf while we're competing for the big championship.
You have got that ring on. Tell us about the ring, John.
It doesn't fit right now. It's too big for my pinky and too small for the other fingers, but
I'll resize it.
No, it's all good. I do have sausage fingers, so it's we were trying to do the QR code thing that, that Ben told me about with this a little bit too much bling bothering the camera. It's really special. I have had a ring before for winning Pac-12 championships, and that was special to, for some reason, to think of the ring rather than a trophy. In a weird way, it makes it a little bit more, right? Maybe because I associated the football and basketball and U.S. events. I feel like I'm that Americanized at this point. And I don't know, it's special. I feel like, in a weird sense, you're part of a select group that get to have a championship ring, which is not a possibility in sports. But in itself, I think, is just being able to wear what it represents, right? I think seeing it firsthand right away, as soon as you finish, what this means is very special.
So just taking a moment to reflect now, you can exhale, you did it, you took it home. Can you just reflect on this season for us? I mean, thinking back all the way back to when I first met you in New York, when we signed you, and everything that's transpired since then, just take it all in for us and give us some reflections.
It's been, I wouldn't say bumpy road, but definitely windy. You know, made the decision to join LIV Golf, fully confident that I can make an impact. And, you know, you deal with the emotions of that decision, the impact in the media, good and bad, and then going out to the season trying to win, right? Trying to get a team together, a message of the team across, and then get the, those winning moments. And start the year off great, 17-tee in Mayakoba, tied for the lead, and absolutely ruined it completely in the last two holes. And that was my start of LIV Golf season. But, you know, to keep fighting, keep putting myself in position, having chances to win, it was great. But there was a before and after between Singapore and Houston when I changed that driver shaft to something that I worked a little bit better with my current swing speed and made me not compensate as much. Kind of felt better, a more natural swing, easier for myself to hit the fade. And that's when I saw the big difference. From Nashville on, my level of golf was a little bit higher. As well, it's a different feeling, right? Just being able to culminate all the good golf all season, and especially doing it by winning individually today, I think is what makes it so much more special, right? Knowing that I had to win and getting it done is something to really be proud of and something to reflect on. And I always, when I get to a point like this, I always think about the amount of work that a lot of people have to put in for me to get to this position, right? And how thankful I am for everybody around on my team. I mean, it all starts with my wife, because without her support, it wouldn't be the same, right? But from Jeff, our team manager, and my personal manager, swing coach Jeff, my trainer Spencer, my physio Harry, who's on the road, and then the one I see at home, Jimmy, friends like Sunil, mental coaches like Brett McCabe and Joseba that I see in Spain. I mean, it's a large team just to help me perform at the level I want. Somebody that I haven't mentioned many times that I work with physically, Dr. Andy Galpin, who I've seen a big change in how my body responds since I've started working with them. So Andy, thank you. Don't even know if you'll see this, but it makes me really happy to have such a good core group of people around me. And it's very special to be able to have this moment and be able to share with them in the future.
So the season-long title, two tournament wins, top 10s in every tournament you finished. Would you say the season exceeded your expectations? Did it meet your expectations?
I accomplished the goal, yeah. I wouldn't say it exceeded my expectations, because I had a few other chances to win, right? With Greenbrier and Mayakoba being the two closest, but it definitely met what I expected. And I could say maybe it will exceed the expectations if we get the win done next Sunday.
And I did want to ask you about your play this week. You had one bogey in the first round and obviously went bogey-free this weekend. Given the course, how impressive is that in your mind?
Honestly, when we played the practice rounds and knowing how firm it was going to be, I didn't think that would be nearly a possibility. So it's a nice little stat to have and really personally admire myself, because very rarely am I praised for my short game. And I think my ball striking can take away from that, and I can positively say that my short game definitely won me the tournament this week. Some of the up and downs that I made, and even making some of those six-footers, like the one on 12 and 11, is what kept the day going, right? So I think the short game this week definitely is what shined through.
I was going to ask you about the par saves. Do you feel like that was kind of the key point, or was it 17 that gave you a little bit of space?
Well, it's a key change on 10, 11, 12, I think it was there, where things could have gone wrong, and I saved it, right? It's almost impossible to play a final round flawlessly in a golf course like this, especially with that green on 12. You're either 5 feet for birdie or in a disaster zone hoping to make par. So it's tough. And with the wind picking up, it made it a little bit more difficult. And that's where I feel like I maintained. Luckily, nobody made birdies in all those holes, and I could maybe get back to attacking on 13 through 15, right? So I made a little bit of a mess, but made it a lot more difficult on myself on 13. But that stretch right there, not dropping a shot in any of those, was fine. Even the three putt on 14, as much as it bothers me, is not a par five that a lot of people are probably birdieing today, and just the conditions they were, right? So I knew a five wouldn't kill me.
You took driver at 15. In your mind, was that a risk at all? They seem to think so a little bit on TV.
Never. Nah. With being in off the left, I knew I could just be aggressive and hit a fade. If I were faded, I'm in the bunker or on the upslope in the rough, plenty of green to work with. If I hit a good one, I knew I could put it on the green or be just short where the chip was the easiest, right? And then seeing Sergio's three-wood, I mean, his three-wood got nearly up there. So if I hit a three-wood and live myself on the downhill and the fairway, it's not the easiest pitch shot into a firm green. So I thought the closest, the better. And had a heck of a tee shot. If that ball goes a little bit higher like I intended, could have had a good chance of staying on the green, but being just short in the rough was a perfect spot, and gave myself a great look from 8 feet up the hill. Just wasn't able to convert it.
And I asked you this question there earlier this week, and you said you wanted to kind of wait until Sunday, but does this change your perception of the season or what you did today?
It doesn't change the perception, but it just confirms a lot of what I thought and what I've been doing really well. I feel like every time I've been able to win is just a confirmation of the job well done, right? And again, like I keep saying, a lot to be really proud of personally.
You already answered one of my questions about the drive on 15, but...
Was that really a questionable thing? Like,
I mean, I'm not playing the course, so I don't know how tight it is up there, so, yeah.
Well, I was thinking birdie. I don't know.
Anyway, I want to talk about 17 as well. What did you hit off the tee there on 17?
8-iron.
Okay. At that point, how challenging is it to not shift into protection mode and still go after things and still play normal? Like you said, sometimes late in rounds this year, it hasn't quite gone your way. So could you talk about the mental challenge there?
Yeah. I mean, even that back nine, can I ask my caddy, Adam? Like, I hit the shots the way I wanted to. We just had a few gusts, like on 11 and 12, yeah, wind gusts to end up as short as they did. Weird wind situation on 13 where the ball fell right instead of left because it was hammering down right of the right. And even on 16, I mean, we're going to the firm green and having very tight margins. It's almost like you need to be aggressive to conservative spots, right? And even 16, I thought I nailed it and it was just short. So going to 17 and seeing both of them not hit a good shot kind of not opened my eyes, but made me realize what shot I had to hit, which was clearly started further right than you think because that wind is whipping. And then just trust your number. We had to trust that the wind wasn't hurting. And, you know, if I... certain shot with the 8-iron is 155 meters, hit it perfect, landed 153 and ended up in the perfect spot. I mean, if there was a place, if somebody told you where to place it on that green 10 feet away, I think everybody would go exactly where my ball ended up, right? I mean, left edge putt up the hill. What felt best was hitting the best putt of the entire week on that hole. I mean, to feel that good a stroke under pressure and see that ball going dead center of the hole was about as satisfying as golf can get.
And I don't know if you've talked about the driver shaft thing, the change mid-season. Could you elaborate a little bit more about what you did there and how you feel about the driver since then?
Well, I've drove it much better. So maybe stats-wise, it doesn't show much of a difference, but there was a lot of weeks where I would hit it, I would make a good swing, and the ball would start left and not cut. And that was the issue. I thought it was my swing, and finally I talked to somebody at Callaway, and Adam and my swing coach Dave, and we all thought maybe we should visit or reconsider a new driver shaft, and went to ECPC in Callaway in San Diego, the headquarters, tried a bunch, and the second I hit this one, it was instantly, okay, this is different, this is better. And it's kind of where I got back to not manipulating the shots to make it fade and seeing that ball start on a certain line and trajectory, right? Because while I was compensating my swing to try to hit fairways, it was bleeding into the rest of my game. And it was getting to a point where I was making other good swings and still feeling like there were good swings and they were going straight left, which is very unusual for me. And that slowly started to come back with that shaft. And that was, yeah, Nashville, I saw a big difference. Not perfect, but a big difference. And that's when I thought towards the rest of the season, okay, this is more familiar territory, more to what I how I usually hit it, and almost not really thought it, but almost thought that it was basically a matter of time till I was going to give myself a good chance to win.
Okay, Rory.
John, the foot injury that kept you out of the U.S. Open, how long did it take you to come back from that and feel like you were 100% back out here on the tour?
Yeah, it was odd because we had a couple of weeks off at home where I couldn't do much, and Houston couldn't do much. U.S. Open week, didn't do anything at all. And it was, it's a weird diagnosis, right? From what we thought it was to what ended up being. And that, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday of the U.S. Open when they finally opened up the wound and showed me what it was. It was pretty clear, right? So a lot of work to make sure the infection was gone and from then on to avoid what happened. It really didn't take me that long to get back into shape. In a weird way, it was kind of a nice reset from not having played that great. Maybe on to my expectations earlier on the year, and then took it as a weird, you know, just rest time to be at home, to be with the family, to mentally reset and get ready for the end of the year, and that's what I did, and ended up working really, really well. I really felt like I was back in Valderrama because I played really good that week, hit it fantastic. Maybe didn't make as many putts as I would have liked, but hit it really, really well and finished in a good top 10, and that's what made the rest of the year be what it is.
Mm-hmm. Based on the you talked about the crowds you saw in other parts of the world, based on the fan support you saw here, how much would you like to be back in Chicago at LIV Golf next year?
I have a pretty good track record in Chicago, so I'm always going to be happy to come back. I think played Olympic Fields twice, won once, played at Medina, I think I finished top five, played at Conway Farms, definitely top 10, I don't know if it was top five or not, and came here and won. So yeah, I would encourage to come back to Chicago because I definitely like coming here and playing golf in the city.
Here go to Sean Zach over there.
I'm sure you're trying to get on a plane soon, so we can make it quick. But a couple, did you have champagne shot into your nose during the celebration?
The what?
Did champagne shoot into your nose during the celebration?
Yes.
How does that feel?
Not good. I told Turo not to do it again. He did it again on the podium. So, I mean, you got to breathe, right? So it was at one point when I felt the big bulk was gone and his bottle still kept going. I tried to breathe and it went right on my nose.
Today and yesterday, you mentioned enjoying giving advice to teammates of yours. And that is a part of the captaincy that you didn't necessarily know about yourself, that you enjoy giving advice. Is there a part of this season where that kind of hit you or some advice that you gave to someone that kind of dawned on you?
No, I think it's a reflection throughout the year. It's funny, when I finished my college career, the one regret I had is not speaking up more, right? So not sharing my thoughts when I thought somebody was doing something wrong. And it's definitely something that I've had in mind this year when I thought I needed to speak up to do so. Maybe obviously try to be constructive, try to make him understand what I'm thinking, but definitely speak up when I thought somebody was doing something iffy. And I hope that I've done a good job. I don't know if my teammates agree or not, but it's not always easy to get something through the skull of a professional golfer, because I know myself, I'm very hard-headed, and most of us in general, because this sport drives you absolutely nuts, are like that. So you got to pick your spots and get to know your teammates before you know how to relay that message, right? So but yeah, there's something that I don't know why I enjoy. It's just the feeling of helping somebody. It's just a nice feeling to have.
And then last thing is, you finish the season top 10 in every event that you finish out here. To us, we see T6, 3, 1, 2, and they look a lot like just singular results. But when you accomplish that, does it feel different to you than it probably does when we look at it?
It's very nice early on, but then as the weeks go by, it's almost like a little bit of pressure, right, that adds on to keep it going. Remember in Valderrama on that third hole, I ran my 30-footer 6 feet by, and I was fully aware that that putt was to stay in the top 10. So put myself a little bit under more pressure. And it's something that matters. top 10 percentage in my mind absolutely matters. I want to finish as high as I can. And you know, if at the end of my career, they can say, oh, John finished top 10 X amount of time, X percentage of the time, is incredible. I pride myself that throughout most of my pro career, I think I've had a top 10 percentage around 50%. Yeah, it's an honor to be able to say that. And it's something that I work for because it matters. I fight till the end. Every shot matters the most to me. And I think that kind of shows that, right? And I definitely think about it throughout the year. It's something that it means a lot to be able to say that.
John, I realize this is down the list of priorities at this point, but when you left here on Wednesday, the whole Ryder Cup thing seemed, and Spanish Open seemed, a little up in the air to us, based on what you said. Obviously, you guys decided to challenge the penalties. Was that hit or miss, whether you were going to do that? Did you take that decision to the last minute? And when you left here, was there a chance that you were not going to appeal?
I think when I left, because I did my media, was it Wednesday?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had to know by Thursday morning.
Yeah, we sent the email. I think it was at 5 Thursday morning. I think when I left here, I was about 99.8% sure that I was going to appeal. I think I had that decision almost made, but you're still holding or waiting towards the end after hearing that there were certain meetings happening in New York that maybe things would change or not. But it basically came down to, first, with the personal situation we have going on at home, I don't know if it would have been the best for Kelly and I and our family to have to go through the stress of not playing in Spain and possibly jeopardizing the Ryder Cup. And two, the fact that I've always loved being able to go play in Spain and give back to the country that's given me so much. So it would have just felt wrong to not be at the Spanish Open, and with the hopes that things are going to improve in the future as well, it basically became pretty clear that I wanted to appeal, fulfill my requirements as a European Tour member, and hopefully be able to qualify or be considered for Ryder Cup next year.
Hey, John, as exhilarating this day is for you, you will be losing one of your team members, Kieran, for the next season. Can you just tell us what kind of, I mean, I'm sure you've not had a word with him as yet, but what will you tell him? And will he find a friend in you for life to get better?
I'll tell him that no matter what, he's got is my phone number. So if he wants, or if he needs anything, any advice, all he needs to do is text me and I'll respond. You know, we've shared a lot this year, and whenever you compete as a team, that just doesn't go away. Unfortunately, he didn't play his best. He's extremely talented and capable of a lot more than he showed this year, is the crude reality of LIV Golf. But if I'm not mistaken, he still has a chance.
LIV Golf Promotions or International Series.
Exactly. So he still has a chance of maybe making his way back. Still no easy task, but he did do it once, so he might be able to do it again. Advice would be to get his head in the game, because we got one more week. And then maybe after that we can discuss future. But he's got plenty of talent. He just got engaged. You know, things in his personal life are going well, and he's a heck of a person. You know, he's one of those people that's always happy, always smiling, always dancing, whistling. Kind of annoying sometimes, to be honest, especially with me and Terrell in the group, who are usually the grumpy bunch. So, and he's got a lot of potential, and I hope he gets to succeed on the game of golf in the future.
Again, talking about that shot on the 15th, the
time. I did not think that tee shot was going to be the thing to talk about.
But does that show your kind of a Spanish Toro mentality, that you never back down? I mean, will there be ever a chance that you would think of hitting a 3-wood or a iron of that tee?
No. I mean, the driver is the best club on my bag, and I haven't hit any good all week. If you see my tee shots, great tee shot on 10, great tee shot on 11, great tee shot on 12 and 14. There is no chance in hell I'm not hitting driver on that hole. Wind in of the left, aiming basically at the edge of the bunker. If I hit a good shot, it's in a good spot. If I over-release and goes dead straight, it has a chance to go at the pin, which is what happened. You can use the extra adrenaline to maybe get close, right? And especially after seeing Sergio's 3-wood, how close he got, is when I realized if I hit this online, I even have to hit it good. We're going to have a good look at an up and down for birdie. So, yeah, no, I never thought of anything else, to be honest.
Okay, John, congratulations on an incredible year. We're so happy for you, and we look forward to seeing you next week in Dallas.
Thank you.
Congratulations.